This is the save point. Wow. Welcome, everyone, to episode 61 of The Save Point. I am one of your hosts, Alyssa Rosa, and I'm joined today, as always, by my lovely co-host, Mondo, a.k.a. Chancleta Mangu. How you doing today, Mondo?
I am doing fantastic. I don't know. It's just been a it's just been a good day. Been a good week.
Very good week.
And yeah, I feel good. There's a lot of this gaming news to talk about, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of personal stuff for us to talk about, like VGA team type of stuff. We want to, you know, say happy Black History Month. If you guys haven't seen it already across all of our socials, we're highlighting some of the most influential people that we know or have watched grow over the years, really, as content creators or just people that, like, inspire us in the gaming community. So yeah, we highlight someone new every day. Shout out to Mondo because he has been putting that whole thing together. And it's nice to see some fresh faces across our platforms.
Yeah, for sure. Wanted to highlight the folks like Ash, and Khalif, you know. But also want to highlight some up and coming folks. You know what I mean?
Because
that's the whole point. Like, the whole point is to, you know, highlight the Black creatives. Can't always be the one who's at the top, because if you don't highlight the ones at the bottom, are they ever going to get to the top?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just us, you know, celebrating people outside of ourselves all the time, usually, but most importantly during Black History Month.
Yep.
The next cool thing that we can announce is that we have a new member. I don't know if you know this, but Robski has joined VGA.
Oof.
It is so exciting to finally let everybody know this, because we've known for quite some time.
No, we've known for a long time.
Yeah, he's been a part of us for a little bit. And we're really excited to see, you know, for you guys to see what he brings to the table, because we already know what he's going to bring to the table.
Yeah.
It's like Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. We get a new character.
New challenger has arrived.
Yep, every season. So shout out to Robski. Love having him a part of the team. And yeah, the next thing that is going on for us, as you guys know, if you don't, we have an event this Saturday with Steph Cakes for Cakes on Duty. It's a tournament for Call of Duty at OS this weekend. I think the event is from 1 p.m. to 2 a.m. The admissions to play already closed?
Yeah, so just to show up, just for regular admission to, say, watch the tournament or take part in the after party afterwards, is $20. Mm-hmm. That admission includes a free drink, courtesy of Branson Cognac, who will be helping sponsor the event. And that is while supplies last. And so show up early. And the $25 is per person for the teams to compete in Call of Duty. So it's technically $75 because it's trios. Mm-hmm. So you need, you know, $25 per person. And that includes regular admission. So that also includes your free drink and the free raffle ticket that you also get towards some cool prizes. I think we're giving away some headphones and some speakers. So, you know, we got some cool stuff that we're giving away. And that's pretty much that.
Yeah,
I think the teams are full. I think we got room for one more team. If there's one more team out there, but yeah, they're shooting their shot for $1,000 from the $1,000 pot.
Yeah, there'll be DJs. There'll be special edition merch that you can only get there. So if you're in the city, New York City to be exact, head on down and hang out with us for the day.
Yeah.
Okay. Last but certainly not least is probably the biggest thing that we could talk about. I guess technically we have a partner now. You know, we have officially sealed the deal. VGA and Elgato have a partnership, which is huge for us. Shout out to everyone in the community, because we all work together. And most importantly, when we talk about community, we're talking about you guys, the listeners, the viewers, people who interact with us, who follow us, who support us. You guys are the reason why we are able to do what we can. So
yeah, it's so funny that Nightbot the timed night bot alert actually went off at the perfect time in the chat. That was not planned whatsoever.
No, shout out to Nightbot.
Shout out to Elgato. They're always watching, apparently.
You're right.
This super awesome. Really looking forward to our content, getting a little upgrade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The next Save Point episode might sound crispy. You know, might look really good. Lighting might be hitting a little different.
It might hit a little, you know.
But we'll talk about that then.
Yeah. So we're gonna hop into the first topic of the day. It's gonna be a hefty little episode, so I'll let Mondo take it away.
Yeah. You know, you might have heard the news this week. It's acquisition season, apparently. This obviously is not a follow up to Microsoft's purchase, because definitely been in works for months. But Sony has acquired the publisher Bungie, the makers of Halo, the makers of Destiny and Destiny 2, and that is a huge deal. Let me put up the report. They purchased it for like $3.8 billion, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
They're nuts. And obviously this comes shortly after Microsoft announces that they acquire Activision, and but again, like I just mentioned, that this isn't a response to that. You don't buy Bungie in 2 weeks, you know, between the time Microsoft did that and this surfacing. But this is huge, impactful. They did come out and say that Destiny is going to stay multi-platform, and that's kind of their goal, and that this is, I don't know, I guess to quote Jim Ryan, let me see if I can get the exact quote here. We believe, to quote Jim Ryan, we believe games have limitless potential, and that to do anything worthwhile in entertainment, we must bet big on our vision, on our studio, and on our incredible team of trusted creators who build unforgettable worlds that truly matter to people. Oh no, this is not the part that I wanted to get to. There's a quote where he talks about how this is not the last acquisition for them. So this is more acquisitions, but he goes into their approach to having their games on more platforms. And that's interesting. And they've already done that. You know, their games have come as a PC. But it's interesting how having a publisher like Bungie under the belt could help them do that with other platforms. A lot of questions here. Lots to talk about. This is another huge game changer for the industry, because a lot of people play Destiny. What do you think, Alyssa, about Sony buying Bungie? How do you think this works out?
I think this is great, because I feel like the majority of people that I know that play Destiny are PlayStation players versus PC. I know people play PC, but I've always known it to be such a big staple for a lot of Sony players specifically. So on that end, I think it's great, because, you know, you focus on it, you get to keep that audience and not really feel pressure in the same way that you did with Call of Duty. Being acquired, obviously, and all of Activision, really. But as for them being the ones to make the first three iterations of Halo, so that's Halo 1, 2, and 3, I believe, that they made, that says a lot to me, because...
And ODST, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that says a lot to me, because, well, we know what Halo is and what it's become and how huge it is, and I think... If anything, I don't want to say it's a slap in the face, because like you said, this was pre-existing. It wasn't as, like, to me, it wasn't as shocking as, like, the acquisition of Activision Blizzard was. But, like, it's still like, okay, so they have it in mind that they may want to work on their own sort of IP. Not similar to Halo, but to the magnitude that Halo is. I know there's been a lot of speculation and talk as to, like, who else they could possibly acquire. And a lot of people aren't really rooting for them to get Square Enix and Capcom, but they want them to have Konami. So I could see them doing Konami and, like, really honing in on the IPs, but I also saw Danny tweet like if he thought that if anyone thought Nintendo would start acquiring, and I want to know your thoughts on obviously everything, but if Nintendo will, if you think Nintendo will.
So I think PlayStation buying Bungie is actually a really great idea for them. Mm-hmm. Because kind of like what we were talking about when we were talking about the like Microsoft getting Activision, what that was, you know, having Call of Duty, having control of Call of Duty, and what that was going to force PlayStation to do, that was going to force PlayStation to finally maybe focus on multiplayer games, you know? Right. And that's Destiny's bread and butter. Like if they've, if there's anybody who's perfected the game as a service model, like Destiny has kind of figured it out. And they've been doing it for almost 10 years now. I think it's been 8 years since Destiny, like, first started. So that's kind of crazy when you think about it. I think from that standpoint is great. Something else they were talking about was like, you know, like Bungie's strengths lie in their multiplayer and their ability to, you know, create this everlasting multiplayer experience, this game as a service. And Sony's strengths lie in that narrative, that story-driven narrative, the story-driven game, and how those two strengths can mesh and like coexist and blend into one. And I think that that's a really interesting proposition, like how that's going to work out. Like, does that, you know, does that mean that, you know, Bungie's team is going to help a game like Ghost of Tsushima that had a pretty good multiplayer in like Ghost of Tsushima Legends, but mm-hmm. beef that up and make it something even more purposeful? Where like, you know, a lot of these multiplayer experiences from some of PlayStation's games seem like afterthoughts. They seem like almost like, now we're just going to add an online mode just to add an online mode to say we have one and give people a reason to continue playing after the story. Because as great as the stories are and stuff, that's it for some people. Like some people, most people that played it, beat it, and that's it. They're not 100%ing it and yada yada. So I don't know. It's interesting. I think it's cool. If Destiny's gonna stay multi-platform too, I think that that's awesome. Is the next Destiny gonna be multi-platform? I guess that's yet to be seen. It's not part of this announcement, but it was like a separate announcement that like PlayStation is planning to release 10 games as a service by like March of 2026. So that's like a little more than 2 games a year. Games mm-hmm. as a service. That's a multiplayer, online, et cetera, et cetera. Games as a service a year. And that is very unlike PlayStation. So I don't know. PlayStation is about to get out of their shell. You know, maybe we get a games as a service SOCOM game. Listen, I'm all ears. You know, send that shit. Or whatever it is. But I'm liking the out of the box thinking, the out of the box having to respond and mm-hmm. and all this, because things are getting a little stagnant, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's where I stand. And I guess Nintendo, I don't know. Nintendo acquiring stuff, that's interesting. Yeah.
I don't think they will.
I don't think they care enough. I don't think they will. I don't think they need to right now.
Neither.
I don't think they need to right now. I think the games, I wouldn't say that. I can never say that.
Because I feel like they can always be the common ground for like everyone puts it on Nintendo. Yeah. That's how I view it. Versus I just don't see Nintendo loosening up. So I could see them being like, we'll let you all put everything here. We're just not putting ours there. So that's how I see it.
But you know, here's my thing about Nintendo, and I get that like Nintendo's Nintendo, but like, because I was thinking about this the other day, I'm not about to sit here and pretend like 6 years ago, motherfuckers wasn't playing on the Nintendo Wii U, all right? Like, Nintendo wasn't hot shit 6-7 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, you were. That's unfortunate.
We're a team.
That's unfortunate.
We're not supposed to do that.
That's unfortunate. But so like, I know that the Switch is the cool kid on the block. It's been the cool kid on the block through the pandemic and stuff. But it wasn't always the cool kid. You know what I mean? They've had their ups and downs. And so, I'm just saying. I don't need Nintendo feeling themselves. I don't need them getting into this like, oh, they think they could just keep putting out games that look like Pokemon Arceus. No. Stop that. Stop that. February 5th, the Steam Deck come out. Stop playing. Stop playing,
Ooh.
right?
Ooh.
You know?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Nah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You
Anyways.
mentioned something, and I was going to piggyback off your thing, but I forgot what it was.
I'm sorry.
So it's fine. It's early about what you were talking about with
Did we forget the
Wanya.
Wii and the DS took over the world? First of
Thank
all,
you. Thank you. Thank
this
you.
is what I'm gonna say about the Wii. The Wii did sell a lot. I had the Wii, and I had a blast with the Wii. Wii Sports was amazing. Zelda Twilight Princess is one of my favorite Zelda games. But overall, the Wii actually failed at what it was trying to do. The Wii tried to change the way we play video games. It ultimately failed. Like, I know, and it's kind of interesting to think about because we even have Joy-Cons because of the Wii Nunchuck and stuff, right? Like, they work the way they work with the
You mean the remote?
gyroscope,
Yeah.
yeah, like the Wiimote and stuff like that. Like, you know, like that's been minimized into Joy-Cons and how you can freely control with one hand and stuff.
Yeah.
But the Wii ultimately failed at what it was trying to do. And then the Wii evolved into a
I don't know
pretty
that the
shitty thing called the Wii U. And yeah, I don't know.
I arguably would say that the Wii did not fail. Yeah, I was gonna say it is the it's pretty up there. It didn't fail. And then the Switch just surpassed it in sales. No, I wouldn't say the Wii failed.
The Wii was trying to achieve something. No matter how many they sold, I'm not playing games like this. I'm still playing games like this. And that's all I'm saying about the Wii. I get that it sold a lot. I'm not negating that. I said it. Wii
Yeah, I think
Sports,
aging
Wii,
was right.
the
Yeah, but
Wii.
you're I get what you're saying, based on
Yeah,
how they wanted to reconstruct us to like move while we're doing stuff.
That idea failed.
Yeah, I
I
understand
get that
that.
it sold a lot, but a lot of gimmicks sell a lot. You know what I mean? And then, like most gimmicks, we get over them. You know what I
I
mean?
guess, yeah. But arguably,
That's
that's
all I
still
was thinking
people
about. But
would
yeah, no, it's it 100
say.
mil, you got me. And
Yeah.
here's my thing about the DS, and I'm not gonna give you this about the DS. It is awesome. It is and all that, but it sold 155 mil because I know people that have like four DSs. I know people who have like six DSs. It's absolutely insane.
And this is a conversation that we were also having. I don't know how we got onto this Nintendo topic,
Yeah.
but this is the
Now you
conversation
brought
that
up
you and I were having. Yeah.
Nintendo, so
We were having this conversation anyway, a couple of days ago about how like our hope for like the next iteration of the Switch. And I was like, I can and you thought like they wouldn't do backwards compatibility, but they do. They just don't do it forward, if that makes sense. Or no. Yeah, like they don't. If it's a new game, you can't use it on the old DS that you have, which sucks. Versus like you can't play all the old games on your new DS. That's what it
Yeah,
was.
no,
You
yeah.
could play all the old games
If
on your new DS, but you couldn't play the
I
new games on the old
on
DS.
the LDS, yeah.
Yeah, it was like weird. That's the only reason why
No,
a lot
they
of
be
us
out
have
yeah,
multiple.
they be out there getting niggas. I know. Nintendo out there getting them.
They got
And
me
like
a
we said,
bunch.
if they do that shit with the Switch, I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna say this right now on a safe point, because I was thinking about this after we had that conversation the other day. If they put out a Switch Pro and I can't play my current Switch games on that Switch Pro or vice versa, I'm not getting that Switch Pro. I'm gonna get a Steam Deck and I'm gonna play my high quality whatever games on my Steam Deck. I'm not buying into that. I'm not
It's
subscribing.
okay.
I
Hi,
can't support
Nintendo.
that. Yeah. Hi, Nintendo.
Hi,
Yeah. Send
Nintendo.
her one.
Yes, I don't care.
I'm
I
not.
will give you my money. All that. Now, I mean,
Yeah.
I doubt that they'll do that. I
Cause
mostly play digital
we've come
anyway.
too far. Like
Oh,
that was a different age. You could do that back
for
then.
sure.
People weren't
For
thinking
sure.
about game preservation like that or like backwards
Right.
compatibility. Cause it wasn't until that age where like it started disappearing and people were like, "Wait, hold on. I'm not gonna be able to play my PS2 games on this. What are you talking about?" And like, "Wait, what are you talking about? I'm not gonna be able to play my PS3 games on this. What do you mean?" And then that's why like there's now like this like heightened importance of like, "Yeah, I'm only gonna spend like maybe 5, 10% of my overall gaming time playing these old games, but people want to be able to do it
Right, to
though."
play those. And we want the same thing for Sony. Address that backwards
Yeah.
compatibility
Yo,
stuff
same
because it's
word.
embarrassing.
Yeah, it's
It's
embarrassing.
embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we're about to play all of Crash Bandicoot on our Series S, X, and PC. Come on.
Yeah. I mean even
Stupid.
Xbox, like being able to go all the way back to 360, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's
I get to play
huge, huge.
SSX.
Especially
You get to play SSX.
because of all the issues that PlayStation has being able to play PlayStation 3 games, even like digitally, like you have to stream them through PlayStation now. For Xbox to have their same generation of the PS3 mm-hmm. be playable on their current generation of consoles, that's a huge deal.
Like, you still get the graphics of like what it was then, which is fine, but like it runs pretty good. I've played a lot of Xbox 360 games on my Series S since I've gotten it. So
now I was excited about being able to cop discs.
But
yeah, I don't know how we got to the Nintendo thing. Shout out to Nintendo. Look, Nintendo's Nintendo.
We're gonna talk about them.
They're gonna do their thing or whatever. Look, if we don't ask for more, they're not gonna give it to us, y'all. Like, god damn.
We're the problem. We're the problem.
I need us to start at like but yo, we 5 years in and like I'm just like, and yo, that report came out earlier today that they're just like, now we're halfway through the life cycle. Dog, if we're halfway through, you need to put out another Switch, all right? Because
I don't know.
This ain't gonna cut it.
Arguably, they have been, and
the OLED and the light.
They have.
I guess This is that DS shit. Yo, this is why I never got a DS. This is one of the reasons why I never got it, because I never knew which one to get. I was like, all right, do I get the 2DS? Do I get the 3DS? Do I get the? Do I get that flat one? The one that don't fold. Do I get the Pikachu? Do I get the XL? Do I get the light? Like, which one?
Well, not the light, because like the light was obsolete after a while. But like, I mean, I always got the 3DS, even though I never used the 3D on that thing. But a 2DS would have worked too.
I almost got a 2DS. When there was one that I almost got, it was a 2DS that I was leaning towards. Because a lot of people said that. A lot of people were like, yeah, you really need the 3D. It's like whatever.
Nobody uses it. Or nobody used it at the time. Still have my 3DS though.
Shout out to Nintendo. Shout out to the 3DS. Almost outsold the PS2. Oh, and I'm going to say this.
Almost,
Since we're just talking about Nintendo. Oh, wait. Well, no.
Brandon mentioned it.
Oh, this earlier. Is the new. Oh, no. That news later is about Pokemon. But I was going to say, I do think that the Switch is going to outsell the PS2. If they're going to make the Switch for 5 more years, it's going to outsell the PS2. 100%. Yeah. And I will be right again when that happens. Anyways. But yo, speaking of being right.
So we're going to hop into the next topic that has to do with Sony. It has apparently been 25 years of Final Fantasy VII, which I thought Final Fantasy VII was a lot older than that. So happy anniversary to celebrate. They've done so much promo, even the photo of Sora from Kingdom Hearts mimicking Cloud's famous pose. It was very cute. But recently, Tetsu Nomura put out a statement saying there will be more Final Fantasy VII projects to celebrate for this year. For example, the first Soldier game, which I think is like a, I don't want to say like a battle royale, but like similarly like to a battle royale, that it's like an online server game that you can play with people. So I guess the question is like, why are we telling you guys about this? Well, there's a producer that works on Final Fantasy VII Remake, and he revealed that on a stream earlier this week that not only are they working hard on Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis, but there may be some information that you guys have been waiting for when in regards to Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2. So he said a statement, you know, he had a whole thing that he said, and at the end he said, and I quote, "this year if we can," in regards to revealing some stuff about Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2. But you know, people have, they're skeptics, you know, they're like, are you sure about this? And he went on to say, well, yeah, we just started the 25th anniversary of Final Fantasy VII Remake, at least, you know, the whole thing. So we want to celebrate and get fans excited. So within the next 12 months, yes, a year, we want to share some information. There's been a lot of, you know, speculation, specifically from Mondo, that we will be getting this, and we're really excited, especially because the DLC came out last year with Yuffie. That's her name. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let Mondo take the wheel because he guessed right. He said it, and I must give him the floor. Go ahead.
You know, can't be right all the time, but when you're right, you're right, you know?
You're right.
When you're right, you're right. Nah, I'm just happy to hear this. I'm just happy to hear this because... literally for most of my life, since this game has been out, most of my life, ever since they put out that like demo of, I think it was a PS2 demo. They were just showing off the power of the PS2, and they gave us that cutscene of Final Fantasy VII. People were like, "Oh my god, they could remake this game with updated graphics," and that would be the greatest game ever made, you know? Ever since that moment, I always wondered, when would Final Fantasy VII Remake come out? Like, when would it come out? And as time went on and we just got closer to the 25th anniversary and graphics got better and it just became more realistic that they could do it, I was like, oh shit, 25th anniversary? Like, you got to remake this game and put it out for the fucking 25th anniversary. I'm really happy that they put it out before the 25th anniversary, at least part one. But then that also let me know that they weren't going to finish it by the end of the 25th anniversary. So I was like, all right, cool, we're going to finish it. But all that said, feeling that way about having to release the game on the 25th, you got to say something this year about that part two. You got to. Whether it's, if it's not a trailer or an official teaser, you can make an official teaser. That's not that much work. You can make an official teaser within this year. If you want to do a trailer, listen, that's where I get like, all right, if they can do it, I feel that. But you can give us a teaser with like a blog post that goes up afterwards, giving us some details about the world and, you know, some stuff. Listen. I'm a mouse. I'm a mouse walking around the house looking for cheese, just nibbling little crumbs. I want crumbs. All right.
Right.
But yeah. I'm just happy that they're committed to trying to get us some information this year, and that has me worried that this game isn't coming out next year.
He did say 12 months.
Because he said hopefully within this 12 months we'll give you some info. They're not getting us. They're not getting us the game within the next 24 months. So I don't know. That's looking like a 2024 game, and that is all but confirmed PS5 at that point. Then.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so. So, but yeah. What about you? I know you don't really care for Final Fantasy VII. But
it's not even. I mean, I think out of all the Final Fantasy games, that's the one that I do have more of a connection with, because I am a Kingdom Hearts fan, and you know, Cloud and Sephiroth are in there, and like a bunch of characters like Yuffie are in there as well. So I'm excited to see, I guess, if you guys, I mean, if not within this year, within the next year as well, which is what I thought initially, is like 2023, I could see them saying like, oh, there's a trailer for this or whatever it may be, and had nothing to do with like, realistically, it had nothing to do with the pandemic or, you know, the fact that they can deliver or they can't deliver. It has everything to do with Nomura and the fact that he's working on this for me. So as a Kingdom Hearts fan, as a Kingdom Hearts fan, I've suffered enough under his reign, so I can only imagine what it's been like for Final Fantasy fans. But also just because, like, they had delayed, I think, 16, right? So to me,
We don't know if they officially delayed it, but I feel like it was delayed, because to say 2022, and now we're hopefully gonna get some info in like the spring for the game. It feels like that game maybe got pushed back a couple of months at least.
So for me, I think it's definitely, it's because it's Nomura, but I have the same sort of like sentiment towards Kingdom Hearts. Like I don't know that I'll see Kingdom Hearts 4 this year, but I do hope that, like, because it's the 20th anniversary, so I do hope that, like, there's, in the same fashion, there's some sort of, like, hey, this is, you okay?
Yeah, continue. My bad.
Like, hey, here's, like, some information on when you can expect the next installment, so to speak, and this is the trajectory that we have for the franchise going forward. But overall, I'm excited for the fans, because I know it's been a long time coming. And maybe if I see the trailer for part two, I'll actually finish part one.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I was actually going to ask if you finished part one. So that answered my question.
Not yet. But I do plan on it, because I at least want to try Final Fantasy like once in my life.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to hearing the confirmation that this game is open world. That is really the bit of information I want. Like, once that's confirmed to me, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm patient. I got so many games to play. The backlog is massive. Take your time. But just please do not make this game the same like linear style that part one was. It's not that I didn't like that for part one. I actually did. But that's because I think that that serves Midgar, like the story going through Midgar. I think it serves mm-hmm. the story well. I don't think that serves what Final Fantasy is supposed to be post Midgar, like after Midgar. So
right. My question to you, since you are a fan, is, and I think I saw this on the Kind of Funny podcast, how big is part two? And is there another iteration for like a part three? Like, how many parts do you see them doing, and to what magnitude do you see it?
For the sake of not making us wait 10, 15 years to play an entire story, yeah. And yeah, I'm just, you know, just to be honest. Yeah. For the sake of that and other things, I hope that and for the integrity of what the game is, like the game was originally three discs, so I would mm-hmm. love to see that the game is three parts. But if they do three parts, part two's in my opinion already going to be massive. Part two would have to be massive if they were going to mm-hmm. do just three parts. It's interesting. I mean, I say that, but really, Final Fantasy VII, like, the bulk of the game was on the second disc. And yeah, it was because of the open world, but most of the story was that. Like, disc three was kind of just end game and all of the extra stuff that you could do once you get the ship in the game. And, you know, you can mm-hmm. travel the world more easily. The High Wind, right? I think is what it's called. I think it's called mm-hmm. High Wind. So I think part two is destined to be massive anyways. So, but I could see it not needing to be that big. And then part three is bigger than like what the original disc three was. And you could fit mm-hmm. the ending in that. But I don't want this to be like five parts. Like, come on, bro. Five parts. You're going to take like 4 years to make each game.
Each,
like,
yeah.
No way, man. No way. I mean, I don't know if it'll be 4 years each game, because I also know that this game is taking longer because if it is open world, then it's not being built on the same bones of the first game. And this game is also a PS5 game and not a PS4 game. So you got to imagine that they're redoing a lot of stuff, like a lot of artwork, a lot of textures and things like that, because this is only going to be PS5 when it comes out. So I can see that's why this is going to take 4 years. But like, I hope part three doesn't take 4 years to make. And if it is, it better be because that's where the game is ending, and you know, you just needed that much time to, you know, make that much story and that much game. Mm-hmm. But three parts, please, man.
So do you see them doing more like DLC after each launch as well, or no?
I could see them doing that. Yeah. And as a way, yeah, because Integrate was a really good hold off. I really liked it. Mm-hmm. I liked it because it was more Final Fantasy VII content, but we never play as Yuffie that early in the original game. I never knew Yuffie was in Midgard at that time and all that stuff. Maybe those are details that are hidden like within the game and stuff like that, like if you're paying attention, but I never knew that if that was in the original. And so it's cool to see that perspective. It's cool for her character to get a little development with Sonos being her partner and stuff like that. And so like in the original game, she's just like almost like a hired gun, you know, like just not that she doesn't have personality, but that's not really what her character is about. Like, she's an optional character. You don't even need to finish the game with her. And I think giving her that DLC makes her a permanent character. She's no longer optional, you know, like she is in the game. And I like that about it. And I liked the angle that they gave us for the story, like, you know, leaving Midgard and Midgard and that like ending of Midgard, you know, blowing up on itself and shit like that. That was really awesome. I did that. That was cool for like fans of the series and stuff. And so if they do stuff like that for the DLCs, give us a little buffer. It doesn't have to even be with new characters, just a buffer, an extension from where you came in, and it kind of sort of ties us in again into the next story, into the next chapter. I like that. I think that's awesome.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What about my questions, really?
Yeah, but what's coming out sooner than that on PS5
oh
is Gran Turismo and Ghostwire Tokyo.
Wow.
Yeah, and today and yesterday, PlayStation had yesterday a State of Play for Gran Turismo 7. I watched some of it, but my goodness, was it boring. and they had one today for Ghostwire Tokyo, and I was unfortunately unable to watch it because I was getting a Luigi haircut. It's kind of whatever.
Boring.
Yeah. I mean, but... they're games I'm interested in, but I'm not paying $60 nor $70 for either one, so it is what it is. But yeah, but they are highly anticipated. Like, you know, Gran Turismo fans, that is the racer game for some people. Like, you know, especially like real racing simulator fans. Ghostwire Tokyo seems like a promising title too. A PlayStation.
I think it's also exclusive. Launching on PC.
Also launching on day. PC too.
Yeah, Ghostwire. Yeah, day okay. The day of launch, it launches on PC.
Ah, interesting. So Sony only wanted to keep it off of Xbox. Wow. Okay. Cool. Because I mean, it's not like they needed to try to keep it off of the Switch. The Switch right. Did that on its own. Yeah. Make a fucking Switch Pro, man. Jesus Christ.
Oh my god.
Anyways, Alyssa, since you watched today's, my thoughts on Gran Turismo, just to get it out of the way, it looks amazing. And if you're into real racing simulators, that looks like one hell of a game. But what did you think of Gran Turismo and Ghostwire Tokyo?
Not into racing games unless it's Mario Kart. Shout out to Nintendo. But it did look really good. I just wish the tone was so different. It was very monotone, like for both State of Plays, very monotone to like discuss a game and think I'm going to get enticed by this when like the people who are presenting it or doing the voiceover are very much... You know, like it just feels like I'm in a lecture kind of thing. But the games look really good. I was pleasantly surprised that Ghostwire Tokyo was coming out as soon as it was. I did not expect that because they just did a whole State of Play for it. I'm like, March? Oh, okay.
It's crazy.
March 25th, yeah. To be exact. I think Kirby comes out the same day. So wow. It's like, yeah, it's a lot for us to handle this year. Obviously, this week we have Dying Light 2. In a couple weeks, we have Horizon, Elden Ring. It's just back to back. Ali Ali World comes out next week. Just too much. Sifu as well. But personally, I will also be not tapping into either one of these games. From the moment I saw Ghostwire Tokyo, I was intrigued, but I don't like the first person perspective. The story seems really cool though, based on what they showed, and interesting. So I would rather watch someone play it, but it's not for me personally. But yeah. I won't be putting it into my rotation, nor will it be in a backlog because I'm just not here for it.
Yeah, but. I know one of the VGA community members, Johnny Ace. I know he's really looking forward to that Gran Turismo. He's got he sent me a DM the other day on Instagram. He's got a license plate that says 1v1 me, bro. Oh, and all I could think about was like, wow, no one had thought about that already. Right. Shout out to Johnny. He's a good guy. But yes. People like him, like he's got like the racing setup. He's got the wheel, the gears, the, you know, everything.
Yeah.
The clutch, all that stuff. So I know folks like him are really looking forward to Gran Turismo. And yeah, Ghostwire Tokyo, I'm with you on the first person. It looks cool. Lost me at first person though. Could see myself playing these on a Spartacus, you know what I mean? You know, at no additional cost to my monthly fee, I might be interested. I might download it. I might play it.
Sony, my bad, PlayStation. We would love to review them for you.
Listen, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong.
Right. Prove us wrong. Come on.
And you know, I'm not going to lie. I was watching the State of Play, and you know, when the guy wasn't being so boring with his monotone. Because he was really clear eyes. Give you clear eyes. He was on his shit. But when he was talking about it, it really did bring back like old memories. Like he was talking about like going for gold and like in the races and like trying to get your license level up and stuff like that. I was like, oh man, that really is like classic PS1 days and stuff. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if, you know, it is. I think this. We look at Gran Turismo with like these rose tinted glasses, these nostalgia tinted glasses. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say Gran Turismo isn't hot and people don't play it and stuff, But has it really been that hot since other racing games have come onto the scene?
You should just say it if you want
to. You know,
say
like, no. Hold on. I'm not going there. Even before that, like, was Gran Turismo that hot anymore when Need for Speed hit the streets? When Burnout hit the streets? When I go back to PS2 days. One of my favorite races, Tokyo Drift Racer. When that hit the streets, that was a great racing game. They need to remake that game. But then, is it that great when Forza hit the streets? Forza that came out, Horizon, isn't even the direct competitor to this game.
Right.
Forza Motorsport is, and I think that's like slated for rumors like 23 or something like that, or whatever. But that's, you know, Motorsport 7, you know, Forza Motorsport 7 is going to eventually come. I get that it's like PlayStation's premier gaming, like racer, but is it really the premier like racer? Like, for you know, casuals I know that it's like a super real simulator, but that does not appeal to most people, and I think everybody knows that. Like, you know, this game isn't for most people. I don't know, it's just something I think about. Like, it's like, yeah, Gran Turismo, it's like the name, but I feel like it has that name from the acclaim it had on like PS1, early PS2, and then way more fun racing games came out, like for the casual person. If you're looking for realistic racing, I'm not sure that there are better games. But I know from like a class, just a arcade, you know, racer, casual racing standpoint, I think it's far from being the best, to be honest. All the ones I named have better games than Gran Turismo.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak. All I play is Mario Kart out of all of them.
Mario Kart got a better racing game. You know what I mean? Like
Crash Bandicoot. Doesn't he have
one? I was about to say Crash got a better racing game. You really want to keep it funky, you know?
We're just insulting them at this point, but we love PlayStation, and this is exciting for the fans who are excited about it. This is just like the two games amongst many that are coming out this year, and unfortunately we may not be experiencing it ourselves, but we would love for you guys to let us know if you do or when you do play, how the games are treating you, so then we can have a better understanding.
No, maybe we have a guest on who has played Gran Turismo or something.
Yeah, never know.
Yeah.
We can, I guess, quickly highlight something good about Nintendo. As we mentioned earlier, the Switch has outsold the Wii. According to The Verge, after the holiday season, there was a surge of purchases, obviously, and the Switch has now sold 53 million units. And it doesn't seem like it's slowing down any soon, especially with games like Pokemon Legends Arceus, which has now sold 1.4 million units in Japan, Kirby and the Forgotten Lands, Breath of the Wild 2, and more, since we're expecting a slew of games to come out this year alone. Obviously, this is great for Nintendo, but now that we know the trajectory of like how the sales have been, do we actually see a lot of the games that we were speculating to get delayed to be delayed? Do we see another iteration of the Switch coming anytime soon, especially after news that we're only in its like what, fifth or sixth year? What do you think?
Man, I don't know. I think we were talking about this before we went live, actually. Oh no, we were talking about it in the first topic.
Yeah,
I think they need a new Switch. I think it's awesome that they sold over 100 mil. I don't know. How many more Switches can you sell? I need another Switch, you know. But 103 million is one hell of a feat. It gets way more respect from me than the Wii 100 million, just for what we were talking about. That's what we were talking about. Because it's true.
Like,
because
it's true.
No, I'm not. Wii, I'm not mixing up the Wii U. I'm not.
Because the Wii U did really awful. But it did. It did terribly. I think Brandon said it. It's like it was the prototype for what the Switch
was going to be. Yeah, 100%.
But I don't. Like, yeah, people had issues with the Wiimote, but like at the end of the day, I don't think it broke the Switch. I think I think what broke the Wii was the Wii U.
The Wii U. If they never
quickly went into another iteration of the Wii would have sold more consoles, and you know. But they always gotta do the iteration thing.
I feel that, but like again, my stance is just from it failed at what it was trying to do. Like, I could sell 100 million of something. If it was bad, I can't say it was successful just because I sold 100. I guess, I don't know. Anyway, I just, they tried to change gaming and gaming didn't change. So
I think it did.
I don't think it did. I don't swing my remotes around.
Well, I think the thing was to be active as you play, correct?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Right. So there's people who actively go outside and bring their Switch with them. So it still did something. The only thing was you couldn't bring your Wii with you.
That's what I said. Like the Nunchuck and the Wiimote are basically the Joy-Cons now. Like that's just what they are now. But no. I stand by that. I'm sorry. And I had a Wii and I love my Wii.
I just think you don't like Nintendo and it's fine. And
it's not that I don't like it.
I think it's fine.
I love Nintendo. I just need them to do better. Right?
I feel like they have been. I mean,
they have been.
Obviously. And I mean, obviously we can.
I just want a new console, Alyssa. That's all it is. I need a new console. You know what I mean?
They just dropped one last year. They just gave you the OLED last year. I get what you're saying with like a better hardware, everything like that. But
like I said, I looked at this infographic the other day. And it was first generation of gaming all the way to ninth, where we currently are. And in ninth, right now, is only PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. They've yet to put out a ninth generation console. The OLED? Nah, that ain't it.
I would say that aging, I feel like that's a bad example because ARMS didn't do well. But yeah.
Don't get me wrong. And like they got that like wheel thing. You know what I mean? Like they're doing.
You're talking about the workout.
And the workout, thing. Yeah, the workout thing. So like they're, don't get me wrong.
The essence of the
Wii has lingered on.
Yeah.
But they wanted that to make that what that was, and it just didn't work out. And that is what it is. That's okay. You know what I mean?
I think it worked out for the.
But like Brandon said, the Wii just got the casuals. Like they did so many interesting, cool things. Like I waited outside of the Nintendo store for a Wii Fit. You remember the board, the Wii Fit?
Yeah, I had one. Yeah,
that thing was incredible.
Yeah, they never.
At least the idea of what it was incredible. Yeah. And then they did absolutely nothing with it except make the Wii Fit fucking board. I always thought like, yo, are they gonna make like snowboarding games that you can like get on this thing and like play and like
that's the thing. All right, I'm not even gonna get into that because so many people will say, and I want to address what Mook said because I also agree, like it's like a weird situation where like they do need to be like them in hardware aspects but not like on the level of like acquiring and stuff like that. Like there was a Tony Hawk game where you can physically have a board and you can essentially skateboard in your house. I had it. And they made it for the Wii. And here you are saying,
I did not know they did that. Listen.
Yes. And here you are saying, why didn't they have it for, obviously you didn't know, but why didn't they have it for like certain things like Wii Sports or, because Wii Sports, they let that go, but like Wii Fit. Because they don't care about extreme sports, first and foremost, obviously, clearly. That's why Xbox has to.
Yo, that's amazing that they actually did that. Because I was waiting for that. I was like, yo, they gonna put out a skateboarding game for this shit? Because like that shit. But the game,
unfortunately, that Tony Hawk game tanked because everybody was like, why the fuck would I? Sorry, excuse the French, but like, why would we want a physical board as a remote to do tricks? And I was one of very few people who
actually
like,
wanted to do that. Yeah,
and that was really cool to me because you got to like learn kind of how to do the tricks.
Yo,
like literally.
Yo, Alyssa, you literally, in what you just said, you just proved my point. People got it and were like, I don't want to do this. And this is what I'm saying about the gimmicks. Like, gimmicks are cool. Gimmicks get you into the door. But gimmicks get you right back out the door dumb quick, you know?
So arguably the same about Arceus then.
Yo, you can. Is Arceus a gimmick though?
A lot of people feel like it is. It's gimmicky and it's
repetitive, and I don't know if that's gimmick. I think it's repetitive.
But Pokemon's always been repetitive, so it's like.
Yeah, but you know what it is? It's repetitive for shit you don't want to do though. Like, you know.
So true.
Like you don't want to. Yeah. You don't want to do like this shit. You know, like I feel that, and that's why I'm gung-ho about like, nah, I need them to make a game like this, but I need badges. I need multiplayer battling. Like, come on, bro. I can't battle nobody. I'm basically just catching these Pokemon for nothing. And Like that sounds was something that we spoke about before I had even like bought it. I was like, well, this is great. It sounds cool, but like the game's not compatible with Pokemon Home right now. So even you'll one day be able to transfer all these Pokemon out. One right. day. But until then, I get the moniker, gotta catch them all. But I personally never caught them all. And even if I did catch them all, the main goal would probably still be I'm trying to battle. Like, I'm trying to get in these streets and battle. I know Moose can attest to that. Moose doesn't even play Pokemon anymore because all he wants to do is battle. And so he goes on, I forget what the website is called, that you can just, like, set up your teams, like, your Pokemon, the stats and all that shit, and you can just basically battle them.
I forget what that is, too.
Pokemon Showdown, I think is what it's called. But, like, people just want to battle. For the people who love Pokemon Showdown, this game is useless. This game is like...
Oh, 100%.
This game is like, what is this? It's cool. And I guess if you're looking at that, then you're just like, oh, this is just a gimmick. Because it's just me walking around, being able to throw the ball. And then that makes you think about Let's Go, which was definitely a gimmick. Oh, because I was kind of just like to...
But it's, yeah.
Add on like to Pokemon Go and stuff. But yeah, so yeah. No, I guess I can hear that. I can see that point of it being gimmicky. I don't agree with it, but that's right. Because I might be having a better time than most.
I think it's also just because you've compared it, which a lot of people have,
to Monster Hunter, and I like Monster Hunter.
I've never played a Monster Hunter game in my life, but it's like, even when Amari had hit me up to ask me about like trading and stuff, I was like, I haven't really been putting in that many hours that you think I have on this game, because it hasn't really been grabbing me as like a standalone Pokemon game. I'm a traditional Pokemon player versus like I enjoyed Let's Go, but it wasn't the greatest. It was an easier way to get shiny Pokemon, I will say that.
It was.
But outside of that, I don't know.
And this too, Arceus is that too. Like, oh, wanna catch shinies? We got some good chances to get shinies in this. But yeah.
I did not say that. Mari. Personally, one of the best things about Arceus is that I hope they learn we do not need more than one version of a game. I mean, I would like that too, because I don't it's annoying that I can't get every Pokemon in one game.
I'm not gonna lie to you though, I don't see them doing it though.
No, because Ivan exists.
Yeah, the Ivans of the world exist. You're right. The Ivans of the world exist, who are gonna buy both of them and play them both, and trade to themselves and stuff. With their multiple switches. But I think doing the single game also gets away from not just the structure of just making two games, but the structure of how they build the stories. There's two legendaries that always coexist. And there's story plot reasons that drive them to do two games. I don't know. I can't see them getting away from that.
Yeah, I can't either. I wish that they would, but I think it would just like... It also just, for them, it's probably like, oh, this is a reason for y'all to play together.
They'll re-release the Mario 3D collection before they do that.
You're not wrong. That's the sad part about it.
Yeah.
But to go back to Mook's statement, do they really need to be like the others? Nintendo.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think, and we'll talk about this maybe a little more as like the Steam Deck comes out and people start giving their reviews and stuff. I don't think they need to be like PlayStation and Xbox. I like my ask for the games to look better is just like the games just need to look better. Like,
yeah, that's it.
I've heard some people say like, oh, like it's not getting in the way of my enjoying the game, and it's just like somewhat. Like I feel like somewhat. Like yeah, it's not getting in the way of the gameplay itself. Like yeah, I'm still battling all stuff. But like when a scene comes up, a motherfucker's handing him something, and the character just goes like this, and doesn't actually give anything. The other guy, or you can't actually do a cutscene, and so they say stuff, and then the screen goes to black, and then the thing happened, and it's just like yo, son, I need people to understand, PlayStation is the number one IP. In existence, nothing else has made more money than Pokemon.
You mean Pokemon?
Pokemon, yeah.
PlayStation.
Oh, I said PlayStation. Sorry. Pokemon. Like, and I want you to think about that in a huge sense. Like, number two is like Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh's been around since like the 40s. Pokemon's been around since the 90s and has trumped Winnie the Pooh like two times over. These motherfuckers are making money hand over fist. And these games still look like this, yo? Like, nah, son, I'm sorry. I'm having a good time with Arceus, but if every like 50 minutes I gotta think about how the fucking edges look jagged and how grass the is trees. Popping in and the trees look terrible and nah, son, like, oh my god. Like, oh my, I don't need 4K. I don't need 4K. No. I don't need none of that shit. But like, yo, son, that shit.
Let's just put it this way. There's no reason why Dev Store that was made by two people looks the way that it does and Pokemon is made by more people and can't look the same way.
No reason why Ocarina of Time, a game that came out 5 years ago, looks better than this game. Son, no, I'm sorry. 2022. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's sad.
I play PS3 games that look better than this. Oh, and, for
sure. Last of Us.
And that's just me asking Nintendo to do better. That's it, yeah,
100%.
Art style, we all can agree on that, yo, Mooks. Listen, bro. I hate the art style shit. I get the art style. I get the art style. Make the characters look like that. Make the world look like that. But the jagged edges.
No,
that's not.
There's no excuse.
Terrible frame rate, like grass popping in and shit. Yo, that shit kills.
There's no excuse. The back, even if you take a glance, if you're standing and you see the volcano in the back and the lightning that's around, that looks sad.
So it looks awful. Yeah,
it looks bad.
It's kind of funny. I started the game, and the first time they showed that cloud over the volcano, I was like, "Yo, that shit looks terrible." I was like, "Yo, this shit looks terrible. That cloud looked really bad." But to that point, I think it's showing the Switch's age right now.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's the Switch's age versus Nintendo.
Well, you're right, because it's a blend of the two. Because again, Zelda didn't look like this, in my opinion.
It did, but it was also the first. It was 2017 when it first came out, and like we're like, whoa, yeah. We were all surprised.
No, we were blown away.
The Wii U didn't look like this.
That's what I'm saying. You know, they wasn't hot too long ago. No, let me stop. But
yeah, exactly. Brandon's right. It's the developers. It's not the Switch.
Yeah, but I still think the Switch is still lagging behind. Like Arceus aside, and the way Arceus looks aside, the Switch is still lagging behind. They need to make.
Oh, it is lagging behind. I don't know. It's like it is, but it's hardware for sure. But like, sometimes you really can't. Like when it comes to Arceus, it feels like they had the potential to like make it pop, and there was someone in the room that was like, dumb it down, because they don't care about this. They just like Pokemon. Dumb that shit down for them. Because then we gotta charge them.
Nah, Des was like, nah, we need more time, and they were like, nah, it looks fine just as is. They gonna buy this shit.
And they were like, no, but they said I don't give a fuck about them damn trees. They gonna buy this shit. Look at it. Selling 1.something billion dollars here. Come on.
Yeah,
million yen. Come on,
Minak.
Fuck it,
guys. The Switch still doesn't have Bluetooth. I know that they updated it and added Bluetooth to it. Have you used it? It's terrible. It may as well not even have it. So like, true. Nah, the Switch is outdated. It's pretty outdated, and it's gonna be even more outdated on February 25th. So, you know.
We know who he's rooting for, y'all.
I'm rooting for gamers. That's who I'm rooting for.
True.
You know?
You are challenging them in the right ways. I will say that.
I'm consistent. A year ago, it was Xbox. I needed them to do better. And look what they did. Look what they did. They started doing better.
They did better.
You know?
They did do better. They did so much better that, you know, I don't know if you heard about this new announcement or anything.
You got an Xbox? Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah, Amari, it starts shipping for the first quarter on the 25th.
Yeah. If you're in that first round, you'll probably start getting yours.
It's not like a PlayStation. It's not like that. You can't just go out and buy one day one. You have to pre-order it, and then it gets shipped to you depending on
what's available. I know. I said I would prefer if PlayStation and Xbox did that, but would you prefer that?
Yes, not for my sake, but for everybody else's. I think it's only fair because, I mean, I don't know if you saw that video on Twitter today of those people who, I don't know where they lived, but they were doing like a pass of a bunch of PlayStations, digital, physical editions, and just like a whole bunch of them out in the open, and they were like paying someone to give them so they can resell
them. Jesus Christ.
I just don't think it's fair.
No, it's not. But like you were saying, to Xbox's success.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, yo. Listen. It's doomsday again.
Yeah.
This was big last year, and it's big this year. And you know what? They made a point to announce it real early this year. But if you might have heard earlier this week, MLB The Show 22 has been announced. It's coming to PlayStation, of course. It's coming to Xbox. It's coming to Switch. That crazy. Switch doing big things. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not behind. Fortnite don't even look that bad. Fortnite don't even look that bad.
I'm leaving.
But, and you have the choice to pay full price for that game on all those platforms. $60, $70 for the PS5 version. Or you could get that game day one on Game Pass. Yo, listen. Microsoft is wilding. Microsoft throwing the bag around. This was big news last year when they announced that the game was even coming to Xbox, and that was pretty awesome. But when they announced it was coming to Game Pass, I said they're like, oh wow, you know, this is it. Like, they got to make their own service now because this is getting out of pocket. It's really awesome to see that it's coming to Xbox again this year. It's coming to Switch too. Are we going to get a PC version in the future? Like, I mean, that's pretty much all that's left now, right? But it's coming to Game Pass again. And people are pretty hype about this because it's a PlayStation game on Xbox. So that's one reason some people are hype about it. But another reason is because it is the premier baseball game. Like, there is no better baseball game than this. That is the wide consensus from all fans of baseball games. And yeah, coming to Game Pass again. You have an Xbox. I would love to hear if you're going to be, you know, hitting home runs in April.
I also want to say, I think the Switch is the only one with the cross save. Like, you can do the cross save from the Switch to whatever you choose to play.
Really?
Yeah, they announced that. So wow. That's pretty cool. If you get it on your Switch, you can always play it handheld on the go, and then like when you go home, play it whatever console you desire. I will not be playing this. I don't play sports games unless it's like Tony Hawk Pro Skater. But I think it's really cool that I think it's funny because when we were talking about the acquisition stuff for Microsoft, it was just kind of be like, this is an Xbox game on your PlayStation. And it very much feels that way. But to attest to what you just said previously when we were talking about Nintendo, I'm here for gamers just that want a game. And I think this is great for that because not everybody obviously has the opportunity to buy the latest console, let alone buy a PlayStation 5 at that. So shout out to MLB The Show for like really diving deeper into like Game Pass and like believing in it wholeheartedly and being like, no, let's do it again. We did so successful the first time around. Will you be playing this? I don't know if you're a fan.
I played last year's a little bit. I don't play sports games like that. Yeah. MLB The Show is the best baseball game. I played the one last year a little bit. I just wanted to see, because you can play it on xCloud, so you can play it on your phone. And I played it just to see how it played on my phone, because I was just astonished that I was playing MLB The Show on my cell phone. Like, that's a reality that we live in. That's kind of crazy. Crazy. Like you saying, you play on the go with the Switch, you can also play on the go with xCloud. So
yeah, you can.
I mean, that technically is a cross save, right? With Xbox.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, I think this is cool. I want to see this game come to PC, because the game is gonna look stunning on PC.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. This is, again, like we said earlier, you said, you know, get more PlayStation games on other consoles, other platforms. You know, I don't think that this was the one plan that they wanted to do. Yeah, but I think, because the MLB was like, no, we're going to put this on Xbox. PlayStation, I guess, was like, all right, well, I guess we might as well try to put it on the Switch. And
yeah.
I know it's harder to develop for PC sometimes, so I think maybe that's just taking longer. Do we get it halfway through the year, something like that? Or do they just wait until next year? I'm actually low-key surprised that they even did one this year. Because I feel like at one point, MLB The Show was coming out every 2 years. And since they don't have any competition in the baseball realm, like, it doesn't even really matter, you know?
Yeah.
And like, with sports games, this is why I stop buying Madden every year, 2K every year. Not that much changes every, like, how often can you change the game? They like forcibly change the mechanics sometimes just to be able to put out a new game that feels different, but ultimately feels worse than the game that came out the year before. Yeah. So, anyways,
let's start on that. Let's start on MLB The Show. I know Mario is excited about it. He said it in the chat.
Does it come to Spartacus?
Is Spartacus a thing?
If Spartacus is a thing, does it come to Spartacus? Please.
I hope it is. And I hope Spartacus comes out before Forspoken. I don't want to pay $70 for that. Because I love Square Enix.
You pay $70 for that. I want those day one games to come, but they're not going to do it right away.
I mean, maybe I won't. Hi, Square. I love you. We're sponsored by Elgato now.
This show is brought to you by Elgato.
Yes. Here are some hot takes of the week, and some games you can pick up this week are Life is Strange Remastered Collection on all platforms, Dying Light 2 on PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. It is delayed for the Switch. If you want a good review and you're not really sure of whether you want Dying Light 2, head over to Gamertag Radio. Danny put up a really good review with a couple of guests, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It made me reconsider the whole franchise because a lot of people didn't like the storyline for the first game. So the second game seems to be really, really good. Maglum Lord is coming to the PlayStation 4 and Switch. The 100 Year Kingdom on PC and Switch, and last but not least, Rip Out on PC. Death Stranding Director's Cut is coming to PC on March 30th, 2022. You can find it on Epic Games Store and Steam. It Takes Two is being adapted into a television show or a movie, apparently. This game is done so good. I mean, obviously it won Game of the Year, so yeah, there goes that. Ubisoft announced last week that Hyperscape will be shutting down later this spring. I'm pretty sure everybody probably forgot that Hyperscape was a thing, but there's that. Apex has announced a new mode called Control, along with a new legend named Mad Maggie, and that will come to Apex Legends Defiance on February 8th, which is next Monday, I believe. Silk Sonic will be coming to Fortnite on February 10th. The iconic duo of Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak join the Fortnite squad along with Ariana Grande, Travis Scott, and Marshmello and them. So
you know how I sent you that news and you were like, oh, this is old. This is from like 2019. That phone sent you? The reason I think that was even cycling around is because that studio put out a new game recently. Like it's like an 8-bit
Team Cherry.
Like an 8-bit game. And so that's why that was like cycling around. As if it was
I was like, Nintendo would have been tweeting this. He's talking about Hollow Knight Silk Song.
Yeah, Hollow Knight Silk Song, which is not coming out anytime soon, apparently.
Yeah. Not only can you get Silk Sonic soon, but you can now unlock the Rock skin in Fortnite if you have the Battle Pass. It's finally available. Go hop into it along with Spider-Man and friends and go get it. Last but not least, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League has been delayed until 2023. There really isn't much details on as to why or why not. We are just going to assume it is due to the pandemic. As you guys know, it's being made by WB, who is also making the Arkham something? The other Batman game that's coming out, or Robin Nightwing game.
Gotham Knights.
They're making Gotham Knights, and they also are making the Hogwarts Legacy game, which we have yet to hear anything about. So no surprise here. But outside of that, that is Hot Takes of the Week.
Hot Takes. Oof. I'm a little disappointed about the Justice League game. I'm not surprised, but damn. You know?
I was looking forward to it. It was probably...
Same.
Out of all of them.
I hope Gotham Knights doesn't get delayed though.
Yeah. Me too. Apparently they talked, it was like in a, I forget what it was, like a conference type of thing. They talked about that game and I think the Harry Potter one, but they never brought up Suicide Squad. Mm. And then it's just,
then boom. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's still some hope for those.
Yeah. All right. We'll see.
Any lingering thoughts? Close it out.
Shout out to VGA.
Come on. You're part of VGA, so shout out to yourself.
I know. Shout out to all of us. Shout out to the team for working hard and continuing to work hard. And Yeah.
Yeah. No, shout out to the team. Shout out to Robski joining the team.
Yeah.
We got some more news coming for y'all, but
yeah, wait till we're tomorrow. Excited. Yeah, wait till tomorrow, y'all.
Yeah, lingering thoughts. It's been one hell of a week, you know? Mm-hmm. Stay the course, y'all. You know?
Stay the course.
The night is darkest just before dawn. You know? Mm-hmm.
There may be adjustments to the podcast, by the way. Should we say that too?
In what regard?
Based on when we go live.
Oh yeah, yeah. I guess I gotta let everybody know in that regard. I mean, not to get too personal, but I just got a new job, so we have been recording at 6 o'clock on Thursdays, but I know that will not be feasible. With my new job, I just won't be able to get home in time for 6 o'clock. We used to record the podcast at like 10:30 on Thursdays, and that was because I was working and I would get home, and by the time I cooked, and by the time, you know, I think it was Ivan, because Ivan streams on Thursdays, you know, we would get on right after mm-hmm. Ivan finished, so that was like 10:30. I'm not sure if we go back to that or what we do. Because it would either mean like Ivan moving his time, or us going back to after Ivan, which I know might not matter too much to Alyssa because she's in the West Coast anyways. But yeah. Oh, I appreciate everybody saying congratulations. Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm really excited to start. It's a position I'm looking forward to. So because of that, podcast like live recording time is definitely gonna change. I don't know if it'll be a different day or a different don't know if it'll be a different day. Definitely will be a different time, because we won't be able to do it that early on a weekday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, we'll let you know as soon as we know. Actually, that might be next week, because because I start on Wednesday. So next week's episode is not gonna be done live at 6 o'clock on Thursday. Fuck.
We have to figure it out probably this week.
Yeah, we're gonna figure it out over the weekend.
And see what works and how it works.
See how it aligns with everybody else's everybody else being on stream and stuff like that. So
Yeah,
that's it. I think that's it for lingering thoughts.
Okay, cool.
Yo, y'all. That was episode 61 of The Safe Point. I'm one of your hosts, Mondo, aka Chocolate the Mangu, and I'm joined per usual by the lovely Alyssa Rosa. And man, the podcast probably gonna look good the next time we record too. But yeah, thanks to everybody who's listening live. Appreciate everybody who's listening afterwards on podcast services or YouTube. Leave us a comment, review, send us an email, let us know what you think. You know, tweet us.
Nice emails. Whenever.
Nice emails. I hate emails. And yeah, I hope y'all have a wonderful day, afternoon, evening, weekday, weekend, whenever it is that you're listening to this. And yeah, on that note, one.
Hey.